see each and every one of you. Glad you're able to be with us in worship this morning. If anybody have a prayer request, just show by the raising of your hand. Oh, God sees and knows each and every one. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just come to you this morning, dear Lord, with thanksgiving and just joy, dear Lord. We just thank you for your many blessings. We thank you for your love for us. Lord, again, we thank you for giving us the opportunity to gather in your house and in your mighty name. Dear Lord, as we come this morning, dear Lord, expectations of hearing your word, Lord, we ask now that you'll just open up our hearts, our minds, and our ears. Not only that we'll hear your word, dear Lord, but it'll be planted in us forever, dear Lord, and that we can let your word go through us. Dear Lord, may we just stand strongly in your name. Lord, you see the hands that were raised this morning, Lord, you know the needs. Lord, those that are sick, those that are shut in, those that aren't able to be with us for whatever reason this morning, Lord, we ask you just to be with them. Lord, thank you for your many blessings. Lord, we ask now that you'll just heal, you'll protect, you'll provide for each and every one. Dear Lord, and we just love and praise you. We ask now that you'll just bless our pastor and his family, strengthen them as they go back your work. And, dear Lord, for all the technical situations, Lord, you know what's needed. You know what needs to be done. Dear Lord, we give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everyone says,
amen,
amen, amen, amen. While you're standing, turn to page 305, the old rugged cross. I'm going to need y'all's help this morning. Praise God. Y'all sing out so we can
yeah.
giving your all for us, dear Lord. We just love and praise you. You may be seated if you can. Just praise the Lord. I know the sound's a little different this morning, but as I said, we're working through it in the Lord's name. Praise God. We're going to get ready to take up our morning offering. Just want to ask you if you would, just continue to pray for our ministries and all the activities going forward. We just ask for you to remember our food closet, our Overcomers Outreach, our ladies' ministry, men's ministry, the children that are out in the children's church. Just keep them in our prayer. Praise God. A lot of confusion, a lot of unknown right now, but we know God does have it in his hands. Praise God. Brother Billy, would you ask the Lord just to bless our offering this morning?
Our loving Heavenly Father, we just love you, Lord, and just so thankful for this time that we can come and fellowship and worship you, Lord. Father, we ask now that you bless this offering. We pray that it go further thy works. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. not.
I've always been told I don't need a microphone. I really don't. God bless me with some pipes, but that's okay. I thank you for it.
This morning. That's what his mercy did for me. Now, what did he do for you? Yeah, he did what nothing else could do. He did what no program could do. He did what no man could do. Amen. But the mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful to be the recipient of God's grace and his mercy. Good to see you this morning, each and every one of you. Give yourselves a hand this morning. It's just good. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. I hope you came to worship the Lord this morning. It's so good. Be able to have the privilege. I never, ever again, if I have in the past, please forgive me, Lord, but I never, ever again want to take going to church for granted.
Amen.
It is such a blessing. It's such a privilege. Amen. It's such an honor to come together in one mind and one accord in love and worship and adore our precious Savior. As this week we celebrate Memorial Day, and it's a time of getting together. It's a time of barbecues and maybe some places going to the beach and doing things, but we also The main reason we have Memorial Day is to remember, amen, the sacrifice of those in uniform, our military, both men and women, who have given their all. Some did give their all. This is a time we should be appreciative of them 365 days of the year because of the freedom that they fought and bled and died for so that you and I could enjoy the liberties that we have. So we have some military veterans in our congregation this morning. First of all, we would like to recognize them. If you've served in the military in any capacity, please stand this morning and be recognized. And let us offer you our appreciation and our thanks and our gratitude for your service. Give them a hand. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you for your service. Now I'd ask the entire congregation to stand on behalf of those who were not able to return home, who left it all on the battlefield, gave their life so that you and I could be free. Can we bow our heads in a moment of silence in remembrance of all of those fallen soldiers? Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. We have been spoiled by technology. We've been spoiled by the luxuries of all of these things that we have grown accustomed to. But in my generation, this was the norm. I remember growing up in a small church in Rockmart, Georgia, we had finally got one microphone. Amen. One microphone for the entire congregation. And we had the acoustic guitars. I mean, what acoustic guitar is? That's the unamplified version.
That's right.
Yes. Man, and many times my dad would play one with only five strings because he got really caught up in the praise and worship and broke the string and didn't have an extra. But you know what? I found God to be just as real then as he is today. They can take away the electricity. They can take away the technology. They can take away all of the wonderful music that we have, but I still got a voice to glorify and praise my Lord. He's been too good to me. Amen. He has been there all along, and he's not going to leave us, and he's not going to forsake us. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. If you have your Bibles, I want to go to the book of Joel the prophet, chapter number 2, verses 1 and 2. The book of Joel. Chapter number 2, verses 1 and 2. Thank you for standing as we read the precious and holy word of God. Joel the prophet writes in the second chapter, verses 1 and 2, "Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand, a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains. A great people and a strong. There hath not been ever the like, neither shall there any more after it, even to the years of many generations." Can we bow our heads? Dear Heavenly Father, how thankful we are for the privilege to gather this morning, God, in spirit and in truth. Thank you for all those who have gathered here today. Father, I pray your anointing. I pray your blessing, God, upon this entire congregation. Ask, Lord, now that you bless me, God, anoint these lips of clay.
Yes.
God, is nothing more than a vessel, an oracle, God, that you might speak to our hearts this morning. God, lift us up, encourage us, strengthen us through your spirit and through your word. Father, we do remember those who are struggling. Many are sick, many are afflicted. Father, we pray a prayer of healing on behalf of each and every one. Many are shut in. The senior citizens, God, in the nursing homes and the hospitals. Father, I pray for strength for them. Ask you to bless and to anoint. Father, we pray for a healing of our land. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. One more hand clap for Jesus. You may be seated. Amen. We find in the prophet Joel, he begins to describe the land after the locusts have come and devoured the land. Some of the words that he uses to describe are darkness, gloominess, clouds, like the noise of chariots, he says, and as fire destroyeth the land. Certainly we can read or understand by the writings of Joel, this is not a glorious and happy time in the land of Israel. It is a time of devastation. It is a time of great despair. It is a time that many of the livelihoods that people depended on are now gone, completely gone. Yes. There's no future in sight, seemingly. And the prophet Joel begins to describe this, and then he also says, basically, if you read the rest of the chapter, that this is in no way can be compared to the devastation that God will bring to an unrepentant nation. To those who have not made necessary plans, that for those who have not been able to prepare their spiritual walk with the Lord, it's going to be a great, even greater day of despair. Joel preaches, blow the trumpet, sound an alarm. We must come together with a plan, I believe with all of my heart. The day of the Lord is nigh at hand. I don't have to tell you the things that are transpiring in the world today. Many of them have come at an alarming rate of speed, so much so that if we are not really in tune with the Word of God, we're taken aback and totally surprised by the things that are happening. But Bible readers know that many are the afflictions of the righteous. Bible readers know that there are things that are going to come to pass, amen, that seemingly would be unbearable except, amen, we have the strength of the Lord. How many is thankful that we have one who will never leave us, one who will never forsake us, one who has promised us that I will be with you always. Thank God. That is my plan of action this morning, is to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is vital to have a plan. I want to read something this morning that I ran across in my studies, and I want to share it with you. Please indulge me as I read this morning. On the night of April 18th, 1775, British troops were mounting an offensive to advance beyond Boston, Massachusetts, to the surrounding towns in order to search and destroy any and all ammunition and weapons that were stockpiled by the Sons of Liberty, those revolutionaries who were fighting for American independence. Spies had already alerted the colonists that the British were planning this strategy, but no one knew exactly when it would take place. So a plan was put in motion. This plan was that a few Bostonians, in which lanterns would be put in the steeple of the Old North Church to alert the colonists that the British were on the move. On that fateful night, two men by the names of Robert Newman and John Pulling, having information that the British troops were preparing to march forward, went to the Old North Church, climbed to the top of the church's bell tower, and hung two lighted lanterns, then escaped out the back door of the church. Now, certain designated men had been picked to watch every night for the signal lanterns. I want to reiterate that line. Now, certain designated men had been picked to watch every night for the signal lanterns. Two of these men were Paul Revere and William Dawes. As soon as they saw the signal, they mounted and rode their horses to alert the surrounding towns that the British were coming. Two men in particular that would be warned were John Hancock and Samuel Adams, who were both leaders in the fight for independence. And you might say, Brother Eddie, what does all of that have to do? There must be a plan of action, yes, sir, in place. Yes. There must be designated people who are watching and looking for these things that are coming in the world. I would dare tell you this morning that you're not going to find those designated people in the world. You're not going to find those designated people in the high places of government. You're going to find those designated people to precious saints of God who have been in their Bible, who have been praying, who have been fasting, who have been looking forward, amen, to a time when God is going to call his people together, when God is going to pour out of his Spirit and his anointing upon a people who will be recipients of the great and mighty revival that I believe is going to hit this land. A lot of people look at the tragedies. A lot of people look at the despair. A lot of people look at the gloominess and the darkness. But those designated, those who are on fire for God, are seeing an opportunity for the Holy Ghost of God to fall down, for the people to come together as they've never come before, for them to be united, for churches to come together, for people all over this land to hit their knees and begin to pray for a mighty revival, for souls to be saved, for sons and daughters to come to the knowledge of Christ, for an open profession, even of many people who have grown cold and indifferent, will come once again into the ark of safety. Church, it's time to blow the trumpet in Zion. In Numbers chapter 10, God spoke to Moses and instructed him to make two trumpets to use to warn or alert the congregation of Israel while in the wilderness. When both trumpets were blown, all the children of Israel would assemble at the door of the tabernacle. When there's despair, when there is trouble, when there is terrible plagues in the world, can I tell you that the blessed place to congregate is at the door of the tabernacle?
Yes, that's right.
Wherever that might be. A lot of people think it is a structure. A lot of people think it's the place with a high steeple. But you know what? I find my chapel, I find my temple anywhere I talk to God. It is a time that we as a people come together, amen, to acknowledge that there is a higher power, there is a control, amen, and thank God that He is the one that is in control. Amen. So the blast would be sounded, and when both trumpets blew, all the congregation, regardless of what they were doing, like this, they put it aside and they went to the door of the tabernacle. There was an urgency when the horns were blown. There was a reason to quit what you were doing. There was a necessity to lay aside the everyday situations that would arise in the keeping of the camp, so to speak. If you were tending the flock, you quit and you went to the tabernacle. And if you were washing your clothes, you quit and you went to the tabernacle. Amen. If you were fixing your evening meal, you put it on the side burner and you went to the door of the tabernacle when these horns blew. Amen. I don't know if you realize it or not, but I believe that in the faint distance, I can hear the sounds of the horns blowing. I can hear the sound of a necessity that's in the land today. The horns are blasting out. Blow ye the trumpets in Zion. Gather the people and sanctify the fast. When one trumpet was blown, then only the princes or the heads of the tribes would assemble. Two trumpets sounded, everybody came. One trumpet blast, just the princes and the heads of the tribes of Israel came to the door of the tabernacle. Finally, when the horns were blown, followed by a sounding of an alarm, it was meant that the enemy had come to fight against Israel. This was the emergency. This was the sounding that meant you need to come right now. The other day we heard the test sound. Trey was with us. You know the test sound that goes off in anticipation or preparedness for devastation or tornado or whatever the situation may be. They test those every once in a while. And Trey was wondering about this sound, and it sounded more like a test from him. And Penny and I tried to reassure him, it's only a test. He said, but what if it's real? Amen. What if it's real? And I got to thinking about that. All of our Christian life, we've heard about the sounding of the trumpets. We've heard about the splitting of the eastern sky. We've heard about the coming of the Son of God. We've heard about a glorious kingdom that he himself has gone away to prepare, that where he is, you may be also. Amen. How many is looking forward with great anticipation to what the Lord has gone away and prepared for us? But let me tell you, there's many, many people who are going to say, oh, that's just a test. I've heard that all of my life. And when that sound comes, I'm afraid there's going to be so many people that are not looking with anticipation, who have not prepared a plan, who have not given the Lord their life, who have not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior.
That is true. Amen. That's
listen,
right.
The time to formulate a plan is not after the fact. Listen, it's kind of difficult to fill churches now. But I will assure you, when that trumpet sounds, those who are still alive and remain, they're going to be searching churches. They're going to be searching somebody to pray. Help me, lead me to the Lord. It's too late after the fact. Today is the day of salvation.
Amen.
Now is the time to formulate a plan. Now is the time to get ready. And the plan that you and I, that each and every one of us must have, is a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you have not accepted him, if you've not nailed to an altar of repentance, don't wait till it's too late. Don't wait till things get better. Today is the day to make a plan for salvation in your life.
Amen.
Oh, pastors, listen. Preachers, listen. Blow the trumpet. Blow the trumpet. The time for making us feel good in our body is over. The time for telling everybody that they're okay and you don't have to do anything is over. It's time, amen, to give our life to Jesus. It's time to get serious about serving God. It's time to put him first and let everything else come secondarily. Blow the trumpet. Blow the trumpet in Zion, followed by sound and alarm. Churches, we need to sound an alarm. Listen, I'm not prophesying gloom and doom. The Joel, the prophet, was talking about the devastation of the locust, and he followed it up by talking about the coming of the Lord. And he said he would come with vengeance and with might unto an unrepentive nation. There's something to be said in repentance. Godly sorrow.
Yes.
I serve a Savior who is forgiving.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Can I see your hand this morning? If you're thankful that our Lord and Savior is a forgiving Savior, we want, amen, that will forgive us if we come to him with a broken and contrite spirit. Amen. If we kneel down at an altar of repentance, we ask the Lord to forgive us. God, I'm sorry for the sin that I've done. I'm sorry for the sin and iniquity in my life. God, I relinquish my life to you. Come into my life. Fill me with your love, your spirit, your peace, and your joy. There must be a plan. The horns were to be blown to sound an alarm.
Yes.
That the enemy had come to fight against Israel. There was a plan in place. Now the prophet Joel is sounding an alarm. It is vital. I said it is vital to have a plan. You know, the world gets into situations and they water it down, so to speak, and they make it seem like it's almost elementary. But the plan of salvation is so diverse. It is so perfectly placed in order. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh in the form of Jesus Christ. Amen. I am so hurt in my spirit. I am so alarmed in my walk with the Lord when I hear people say that you can worship any way you want to. You can serve any God that you want to. And in the Bible I read that there's only one. Amen. And his name is Jesus Christ. Only one who can forgive us. The only one who died on the cross of Calvary. And only through his precious shed blood is there remission and redemption from sin. There must be a plan in order. I thought about those two men that were given the task of placing the lanterns into the chapel, into the steeple. You see, when I was growing up, we heard the poem by Paul Revere's Ride, and many, many times, if that's all the research that you do, you think that he was the lone one in preparation for alarming those around Boston. But history tells me that there were over a hundred individuals that were involved in that plan of action. I think about the two, William Dawes, John Pullen. Maybe you're like me, maybe if you had heard those names, you had forgotten them, because they really never was placed a lot of importance on them. But I want you to understand. I want you to think about night after night, waiting, looking in anticipation. Is it time? Is it time? The enemy was on the outskirts of Boston. The history tells us there were already 4,500 men, British soldiers, in Boston. You had to be very particular what you said, what you did. Church, can I tell you? I'm tired of having to worship my God in secret. I'm tired of not being able to proclaim that Jesus is Lord in an open forum. I'm tired of being told that I can't wear Jesus on my shirt, or I can't wear Jesus on my wristband. Listen, let me tell you, when you take Jesus out of it, you got nothing left. Amen. We need to stand up. We need to blow a horn. We need to sound the alarm. Nation, turn back to God. People, come together. Amen. Let Jesus again.
Thank you,
these
Lord.
Two men,
thank you, Lord.
They looked, they waited for the word, and it didn't come. But I want to tell you, they did not give up. I've heard people say, I've been hearing that all my life. That only makes it that much closer.
That's right.
Do you think it's really going to, if the Bible says it, it's going to happen.
Amen.
It's going to happen. Probably these two men waited for the word. Is it time? You couldn't say anything because it would get back around to the British soldiers. You had to be particular about who you hung around with. Come on.
Come on.
Do you know that we're living in a day and hour when it's offensive? Amen. That you go to church and you say, I am a Christian. That's offensive to a great number of people in the world today. Oh, my Lord. They had to be secretive, and they had to look, and they had to wait till they heard the word. And then finally the word came. The British soldiers are preparing to march. They're getting ready now. These two souls that you hardly ever hear about, William Dawes and John Pullen. No, let me get it right. Let me get it right. I don't want to get it wrong here. It was, William Dawes was one of the writers. It was Robert Newman. See how easy it is to forget? Mm-hmm. Something that was so significant, but yet has kind of been hidden and lost in history. But it was Robert Newman and John Pullen, night after night. The lanterns were there in anticipation. And finally, when the sound came, that the British troops are moving. They had to sneak over to the Old North Church. They had to climb up to the steeple, and they hung the two lanterns, and they saw the two lanterns. And then Paul Revere and William Dawes saw the signal lanterns. I want to ask churches all over the world, all over the nation, in our community, have we hung the signal lanterns? Have we hung the signal lanterns in place to alert the world to let them know, amen, that there is hope, there is a way, there is a plan of action, and that plan of action was paid for on the cross of Calvary many, many years ago by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you do not have a plan of action, if you have not made him Lord of your life, today is the day to take hold of that opportunity.
Oh, amen. Yes, amen.
There when those lanterns were hung, and the two riders, in fact, there were two of several riders. There were riders all over spreading the news. In my mind, I saw those riders as preachers, as ministers, as Sunday school teachers, as youth leaders, whatever your situation may be, spreading the alarm. Blow the trumpet.
Hallelujah.
Blow the trumpet. Yeah. Get your soul right. Get your house in order. Come on, get your priorities straight. If ever there was a time to make the world and the nation realize that this is a time that we need to be ready, it's the day and hour that we're living in. And I want to just pause just a moment and tell you, I believe this is more than just, now don't get me wrong, the virus is terrible. It's really devastating. It's awful. But can I tell you, there's something much more in operation and in work. There is an evilness that's coming in the world. There is something that's kind of coming outward now that's been hid and kind of self-secretive all of these years, but it's been emboldened and it's coming out. And the adversary seizes and takes the opportunity of this situation to preach and to cause fear and trembling in the land and devastation and all of these things for those who don't have a plan of action. But thank God, I have a plan of action. Thank God, I made Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank God I saw the lanterns, the signal lanterns burning spiritually, and I found an altar of repentance, and I gave my life to Jesus. And I prepared. I said, I'm prepared.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I realize, I read a little post recently that really made me think. It said, isn't it ironic that all the many things that most pretty much consumed our time has been taken away from us. So much. The things, the sports, the leisure, the places of amusement, all of those things. And you say, well, it can never happen. It has already happened. My granddaddy would never have believed what has happened in the last several months, but it has happened. Man, for those who have not had a plan of action, they think that they've lost everything. So glad that I woke up this morning.
Amen.
And I realized I hadn't lost everything.
Right.
Come on, freedoms may be taken away from me. Come on, the opportunity to go and do what I want to do may have been snatched away from me. But I woke up this morning, amen, with a plan of action. I woke up this morning with the assurance, amen, and the knowledge that if I lose everything that is near and dear to me, I still have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I still have a spirit. I still have his anointing. I still have his strength. And thank God I still have his peace. That wonderful, glorious peace that can only come, man, through the infilling of his spirit and a relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't want to use that word loosely. Relationships today, unfortunately, don't mean what they once did. But I'm so thankful that a relationship with Jesus is an everlasting relationship. Amen. There's a song that says it gets sweeter as the moments go by. Each and every day that I'm with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. I look back in memory and I recall the many times that he has brought me through situations. He has healed my body. He has healed my family. He's opened up doors of opportunity. He's made a way when there seemeth no way. Somebody said he put a door where there was a wall. Glory to God. That means he can do anything. The things that are impossible with man are made possible by God. There is absolutely nothing that God can't do. Amen. He can do all things. And to have a wonderful relationship with him. And to know, amen, that whatever comes in this walk of life, I have a constant companion in my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It doesn't have to be doom and gloom. It doesn't have to be remorse and devastation. How many knows that even in bad times, we're still blessed? I think back in history and many of the saints of God who have already gone, and some of the terrible things that has happened in our world and that we only have they're only reminded of because they're written in history books. If you look back, this is not the first pandemic. This is not the first setback that the world has ever experienced. But you know what I think brought them through? There was a remnant. It was a body of Christ that when things got hard, they hit their knees. I remember my daddy's daddy. He went home to be with the Lord still at a young age, younger than I am now. But story has it that many, many times he would fall on his knees in the middle of plowing a field to ask God's guidance, to ask God to bless his crops, to ask God to take care of his family. And this precious saint of God suffered a heart attack. And he was lying on his bed at home. Some of the family said to him, "Can we go and get the doctor?" He said, "No, go and get Sister so-and-so and have her to come and pray for me." Hallelujah. Glory to God. You might say, "Brother Eddie, that's ridiculous. That's terrible. Why did he call for a doctor?" Because his faith was not in the wisdom of man, but it was in the power of God. God honors faith. I'm not telling you, if you're having a heart attack, don't call a doctor. I'm not telling you that. I'm telling you what my granddaddy did. And he called for the sister. And they had to go, and they was running low of gas, of all things. You and I, when we run low of gas, we think it's because the service station is closed. Back then, it's because they didn't have money to buy the gas. And daddy's oldest brother, I believe it was, my granddaddy said, "Albert, you go and get Sister so-and-so and bring her back." He said, "Daddy, we don't have but a little bit of gas in that car." My granddaddy said, "You go on. You'll have plenty to get there and back." By faith. Amen. Albert got in there and he drove and brought the sister and they prayed and had enough gas to take her home. And I think he measured it the next morning. And he said, "Daddy, I think we got about the same amount of gas as we did when I started the trip." Come on, you come by too late to tell me that there are no more miracles. God is a miracle performing God. And he had prayer right there in his home. Amen. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you and I could ever ask or think. Have you made preparation? Do you have a plan of action? You know, plans of action are given now and people are survivalist and they do all of these things, which is wonderful and good for things that happen in the world. And then I wonder, have you made the necessary arrangements for your soul? Because folks, according to the word of God, according to the prophetic scripture, time is running short. I'm not telling you that the Lord's coming back today or tomorrow. No man knows the day or the hour. But he said, when you see these things begin to come to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Amen. Now to a lot of the world, that's scary. But to those who have a plan of action, that is glorious. Because I'm going to a better place. Amen. I'm going to a prepared place. I'm going to be with my Lord and Savior forever and ever and ever. In a glorious, wonderful, glorified state. Right? Because a plan of action was laid in place for me on a hill called Golgotha. in the midst of a lot of people who said, crucify him, the very one who healed them, the very one who blessed them, the very one who fed them, the multitude of when he fed the fishes and the five loaves. Many were screaming, crucify him, get rid of him, the very one, amen, who come to save them. Because of that plan of action, because of that precious blood that streamed down his body, because of those pierced side, those hands, and in that shed blood, amen, for the redemption of you and me. There was only one sacrificial lamb that could ever qualify, amen, to take on the sins of humanity, and that was Jesus Christ. Blow the trumpet. Blow the trumpet. You know, a lot of folks said God doesn't speak to his people anymore. I beg to differ. God does. I think so many times we're just not listening. In my busyness this week, the Spirit of God began to speak to me. But hey, how do you know that? Because it made me uncomfortable. It made me reevaluate. It made me check myself. And he brought to remembrance the blow ye the trumpet in Zion. Now listen, there's trumpets being blown all over the world today. I'm not talking about the musical instruments. I'm talking about a lot of stuff that's going out that's not truth. But when God began to bring to my attention Joel proclaiming to blow ye the trumpets in Zion, don't look over the fact that he said blow them in Zion. What is Zion? Zion, amen, is now Jerusalem. Zion, in fact, was the hill just outside of Jerusalem that David conquered and later named that city of David, that Zion, which is symbolic, by the way, of the house of God, which is, in fact, the tabernacle, not of wood, not of brick, but the tabernacle of flesh. That is where Jesus Christ wants to live. He doesn't want to come and take up his abode in this structure. He wants to take up his spiritual abode in this tabernacle. Thank God. And that's where Joel said to blow the trumpet. Blow the trumpet in the church. Blow the trumpet in the house of God. Sound the alarm. You ministers, you pastors, you evangelists, you youth leaders, sound the alarm. Now is the time.
Amen.
Man.
Yes, it is.
Because I want to go ahead. I don't want to leave you in total despair. But I want you to focus your attention on the 15th, 16th, 17th, and 18th verse of the second chapter of Joel as we try to bring this to a conclusion this morning. Remembering now is the time to blow the trumpet. In verse number 15, Joel writes, blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. If that is not a call to the church, I don't know what else is. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare thy people, O Lord. Give not thine inheritance or thy heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Can you not realize that in all of this, Satan is saying, why, if God loves you, is he letting you suffer? If there really is a God, why is he allowing this to come upon the land? Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. Rest assured, God knows exactly what's going on.
Yes, he does.
And rest assured, God will be victorious. And rest assured, those who have a relationship with the Lord will be victorious as well. Amen. There's a song that says, victory in Jesus. That's where the victory comes. That's where the peace comes. That's where that wonderful, glorious feeling comes. It's because I can stand here today and tell you that we are having victory in Jesus. But it's time now to blow the trumpet.
Yes, it is.
To sound the alarm. Brother, how can I do that? When's the last time you witnessed to someone? During this situation, have you ever had anybody come up to you and say, man, I just don't understand what in the world's going on with all of this? Can you not tell them, you know, the Bible is just fulfilling itself? But you know what? We don't have to be alarmed. Amen. Because we can have our safety and our peace in Jesus Christ. What a wonderful opportunity it is now to witness to somebody. I'm hearing all over the land that people are returning to church, that people are returning to the Lord, returning again to their first love. My Lord, if out of all of this, there's a glorious revival that takes place, it'll be worth it after
That's
all.
Right.
It'll be worth it after all. God bless you, congregation. You're so beautiful. I love you with all of my heart. And I want to see each and every one of you in heaven.
Amen.
Not only you, but you know, it's not God's will that any should perish. It's not my will either. Amen. God called me, amen, to be a minister, to let people know that you need a plan of action, that you need to be prepared for that day, which will come, whether it be by the grave or whether it be by the catching away of the saints. There is another place. This is not the final story. There's a last chapter coming. Glory to God. And maybe you see what the Lord has prepared for those who are ready. I pray that you're ready this morning. As you stand all over this congregation, as you search your life now, I'm going to give an altar call this morning. I know that things have been had to be put on hold, and some of our services are not like they once was, but I feel an urgency to give an altar call this morning. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here under the sound of my voice, and you've not got a plan of action, you really don't know if you were to leave this world today where your soul would be. I can tell you that you don't have to leave this place in that condition. You can come down right now. I serve a forgiving God, a loving Savior. He will forgive you if you come with a repentant heart, a broken and contrite spirit, saying, Lord, forgive me for I have sinned. Forgive me, Lord. I don't want to die and go to that awful place. I want to be with you forever and eternity. Still with every head bowed, every eye closed, if there's one under the sound of my voice that has not made that commitment, would you come? I'll assure you that we'll pray with you. If you're not ready to meet the Lord and you're not willing to come now, can I blow that trumpet and tell you somewhere, somehow, very soon, you need to get in touch with the Lord. Doesn't have to be at this altar. It can be in the comfort of your home. The reason this altar is because you got praying saints around you. But you know what? You can be saved in your home. You can be saved somewhere that you feel more comfortable. But the point, somewhere you need to find the Lord before it's everlasting too late. God bless you. We love you. Have a glorious and wonderful day. Be safe. Brother Jim, would you come and dismiss?